Amen. 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 Glad to see all the brothers and sisters and friends here on this morning. Amen. You know, in spite of the weather, you guys decided to come out. Amen. And to worship God. Yes. Amen. Yes. And this is absolutely the blessed place that you can be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Worshiping Him in truth and in spirit. You know, I want to thank God for giving me another opportunity for to come before you and to preach God's word. Amen. We know that God's a good God. Yes. Amen. Amen. God is a good God, and He's good all the time. Amen. He's always answering our prayers. Amen. Amen. He's answering our prayers, and we just ought to be thankful to God for answering our prayers. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This morning, sermon, I titled it, Taking God at His Word. Taking God at His Word.
Amen.
You know, the scripture reading this morning came from the book of Romans, chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. And it says that He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what He has promised, He was able also to perform. You know, in this life, many people believe in God. Amen? You know, you ask somebody, they believe in God, they'll say, yeah, I believe in God. Oh, yeah, I believe in God. You know, and then we all know that a man named Jesus walked upon this earth. Amen? You know, nobody that I've ever talked to ever questioned that or denied that, right? That a man named Jesus walked upon this earth. You know, and some of us believe that that man Jesus who walked upon this earth is the Son of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You know, and some of us are willing to trust Jesus Christ with our life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're willing to trust Him with our salvation, right?
Amen.
We're willing to do that, right? But you know, there are some of us who are not willing to trust Jesus, our Lord and Savior, with our daily circumstances. Amen?
Right.
Amen. When it comes to our daily circumstances, right, we some of us kind of lose faith in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You know, and part of that is because that we live in a world where people are always breaking their promise.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
People say they're going to do things for us, right? They're going to come over, they're going to do this, they're going to do that, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes, right, sometimes, you know, they just simply don't show up, right? Sometimes they forget, sometimes they change their mind, or sometimes because of this world, circumstances come up. Amen? Things happen in this world, right? So things that, even myself, things that I intended to do, right, I don't get a chance to do them because other things come up in this world. Amen? Amen? You know. I'm sure on March 2nd, Brother and Sister Foster had some other things planned, right? But something came up, right? Something came up. And because of that something that came up, they had to put everything else that they was planning to do, they had to put it aside. Amen? Amen. Now, if they was planning to help somebody do some things, right, people would understand that, right? They would say, oh, yeah, we understand why you couldn't make it, right?
Yeah.
You know, we have Anthony and Shauna standing in the same predicament, right? They don't know when. They don't know when that baby's going to come, right? But whenever it comes, right, they got to drop everything.
Amen.
Everything. Amen. And pay attention to that baby coming. Amen?
Yeah.
So, you know, in this world, right, circumstances beyond our control sometimes causes us not to be able to keep our word. Amen? That just happens. We know that, right? But you know, we know that God is a God that never let us down. Amen? God is a God that regardless of our circumstances, there's no circumstances where God would let us down. Amen? You know, God doesn't have any excuses about the weather, or about sickness, or anything, any of those things, right? There's no circumstances. God is always there for us. Anytime that we need him, God is always there for us, right? And that's what the Bible says, right? That he'll never leave us nor forsake us, right? Right? And we ought to take him on his word. Take him for it at his word, right? That he will always be there for us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, in Psalms chapter 32, it says that for the Lord, unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts him. You know? And Jesus said to us that in John 10:10, he said that I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Amen? You know, we ought to just take God at his word, right? You know, we ought to just take him at his word, because in Titus 1:2, God always keeps his promises, because God cannot lie. That's what the Bible tells us, right? And in Hebrews 6:18, the Bible tells us that God keeps his promises because it is impossible for God to lie. Amen? I mean, that's the word. That's what the word tells us, right?
Yes.
You know, in Numbers 23:19, God keeps his promises because God is a man. Excuse me. God is not a man that he should lie,
right,
nor the son of man that he should repent. He has said, and he will, and he will not do it. And what he has spoken, and will not make good on it. Amen. In Joshua 23 and 14, you know, the Bible tells us there is that not one word of all the good words which the Lord has spoken concerning has he failed. All has been fulfilled for you. Not one thing has he failed. That's what Joshua tells us. So the God has been a good God throughout the history, right? And then in Luke 1:37 says, God is always keeps his promises because God, for with God, nothing shall be impossible.
Right.
For with God, nothing shall be impossible. You know, sometimes we think things are impossible.
That's right.
You know, we just don't see a way that we can make this thing come through, right? But with God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You know, over in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 11, you know, there we're reminded of even Sarah received the ability to conceive. Even though she was way beyond her age, right? She received the ability to conceive. Why? Because that's what God's promised. Amen? That's what God has promised. So, we need to understand, though, what we need to do, right? What we need to do in order to receive the promises of God, right? Because we look around, we say, hey, I see God's promises, right? But I'm not receiving any of those promises, right? Is it really real for me, right? What is it that I'm not doing? Why I can't see God keeping his promises for me? And see, sometimes there's a gap in between what we think God should be doing for us and what God is actually doing for us, amen? So there's a gap. There's a gap there, right? And that gap sometimes is caused by, first of all, a faulty expectation, right? A faulty expectation, right? We look for God to keep on a promise for us, right? And we assume that he'll keep it immediately versus later, amen? We always look for him to keep his promise to us immediately, right? When we want his promise, we want it now. We have an expectation that the promise is going to come sooner than later, right? We don't want it to come later. We want it to come now. Amen? Amen? And then there's another reason is that there's faulty interpretation of the scripture. You know, sometimes we go to the scripture just to get what we want out of it. Amen? We go to the scripture and we just get what we want out of the scripture. Amen. Instead of allowing the scripture to teach us, right? And instead of allowing the scripture to say plainly what God is trying to say to us, right? We go to the scripture and just get out of there what we want. Amen. And then we come up with a faulty interpretation of the scriptures. Amen. Then sometimes, you know, the gap is because of our faulty feelings. You know, our emotions have a way of taking control of the driver's seat. Amen? You know, we all are human beings, and we have these emotions, right? And our emotions sometimes just gets into the driver's seat and say, I got it. Let's go this way. Amen. Let's go this way. Amen? Amen? And see, wrong emotions can overrule right thinking. Amen? And then we blame God for not keeping his word. Amen? Amen? Our emotions allow us to just go, I'm going this way. And we just take a big old curve, right? And then we blame God for not keeping his promises. Amen? Amen? And then sometimes that gap between what we think about God's promises, what actually happened, is due to faulty memory. Faulty memory. You know, see, we get so wrapped up in the world today that we have so many things that we need to remember. And we may not remember them all. You know, we got appointments to remember. We got birthdays. We got anniversaries. We got phone calls to return, right? We got grocery lists. We got this do list, that do list, right? We have so many things that we need to remember, right? And what happens sometimes in our lives, right, we forget how faithful God has already been to us. Amen? We forget about all the things he's already blessed us with. We forget how he's already fulfilling some of his promises, right? And we just forget about all those things, all the promises he's already fulfilled in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Now, we just got to understand that there is no circumstances beyond God's control. Amen? There's no circumstance beyond God's control. God is in control of everything. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? You know, God allows circumstances to come into your life.
Yes.
Amen? You know, we pray all the time that God protect us from all the evil that's out in the world, right? You know, and so if something is happening to you, right? God is allowing that to happen to you, right?
Yes.
You know? And you know, and we got to understand that in order for God to keep his word, some of his words are based upon conditions. Amen? Some of his words are based upon conditions, right? There are terms to his promises. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. You know, God in the Old Testament, God promised success and prosperity and protection if the people obey the law of Moses, right? We find that in Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 and 9, right? He told Gideon, If he followed his directions, that he would win the battle in Judges chapter 7, verses 1 through 25. Amen?
Amen.
You know, if a person takes his advice from the Lord and not from the wicked people, he will enjoy the Lord's favor. That's found in Psalms chapter 1. Amen? A person can enjoy a close relationship with God if he does what is right, speaks the truth, does not wrong to his neighbor, despite the vile person, honor was righteous. That's all found in Psalms 15. Amen? So these are conditions to God's promises. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen? Now we all know that God chooses not to hear the prayers of a sinner. Amen?
Yeah.
But he hears the prayers of a righteous man.
Yeah.
Right? So if you're righteous, he'll hear your prayers. Amen? Amen. You know, the Bible continues to tell us that conditions that over in Acts chapter 16, verse number 31, it tells us that a sinner, right, that he believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he will be saved. Amen. So in order to be saved, there are some conditions to that, right? God will save you, but that's some conditions to that. Amen.
Amen.
In Romans 10 and 9, it tells us that if you confess the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that he will, that he has, on God, he has raised him from the dead, and that he will save him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Now, over in James chapter 4, in verse number 7, the Bible tells us there that if we will submit ourselves to God and resist the devil, he'll flee from us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So you know, that's resisting ourselves from the devil. I mean, I'm sorry. That is submitting ourselves to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from us. That's the Lord's promise from us. Amen?
Amen.
That's God's promise to us. And then over in verse number 8, he tells us, if we'll draw near to him then he'll draw near to us.
Amen.
You know, sometimes I know in my life it's just that I just don't feel the presence of God in my life. Amen? I just don't feel the presence of God in my life. But the Bible tells us here is that we are to do something. We are to draw near to God, and he'll draw near to us. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. In chapter 4 and verse number 10, the Bible tells us there is we need to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift us up. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, we need to be, we as children of God, we have a part to play in us being able to receive his promises. Amen? And we need to be careful to do our part, because we know without a doubt God's going to do his part. Amen? Now, God, so in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, God tells us there, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that's called us to glory and divine, by which he's given us exceedingly great and precious promises that through these may be partakers of the divine nature and having escaped the corruption of this world through lust.
Amen.
You see, this world is filled with corruption.
Yes, right.
Amen. And you know, we as Christians, we don't want to partake in any of that. And in order for us not to do that, then we need to follow the word of God, right? And learn of him, because he's given us everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness. Amen? And so we need to learn of him and take his word and his promises that we can escape all the corruption in the world. Amen? Now, God also has his methods. Amen? You know, Isaiah 55 and 8 tells us very clear. It says that, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, right? Nor your ways my ways. That's what the Lord says, right? And so whatever we're thinking, we have to understand, right, that what we're thinking, if we're thinking it right, it may not be the Lord's thoughts. Amen? Because the Bible tells us that my thoughts are not your thoughts, right? And my ways are not your ways, right? And it goes on and says, as far as the heavens are higher than earth, so are my ways higher than your ways.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says, right? And so God has his own method of keeping his promises, right? So it's not what we conceive. It's not what we think it's going to be, right? He has his own method of keeping his promises, right? And then also, he has his own time.
Yes, he does.
Amen?
Amen?
He has his own time. You know, sometimes most adults, when it comes to God's timing, we're like preschool children,
Amen,
showing our understanding of his timing. You know, it's just like a little child, a preschool. You know, you tell them you're going to do something. You say, we're going to go to the zoo in 2 weeks. Right now, it's almost every day they're gonna ask you, "We're gonna go to the zoo today? Is the day today? When are we gonna go to the zoo? Is the day today? Is the day to go to the zoo?" They are so excited about going to the zoo, right? And you say, "No! It's 2 weeks. It's not today. It's 2 weeks." But they don't understand that. They are so excited about going to the zoo, right? And they want to go. They want to know when they're gonna go. When they're gonna go, right? And sometimes we are like that when it comes to God's timing. We have no conception of when it's going to happen, but we're so anxious, right? We want it to happen now. We want it to happen right now, right? You know, and an author of Ecclesiastes tells us that, you know, he kind of puts God's timing in perspective, right? In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 1, it says, everything has a season, and every time has a purpose under heaven. Amen? And in verse number 11, he says that he has made everything beautiful in his time, in God's time. Amen? Amen. Sometimes, you know, sometimes we suffer. I know I do. Amen. And we want things to change immediately. Amen. I mean, when we all suffer, right? We want it to change immediately, right? You know, we want it right now, right? You know, but we have to understand the Bible says that God makes everything beautiful in his time. Not our time. Not when we want it to be beautiful, right? But when he wants it to be beautiful. Amen? And in verse number, chapter 3, in verse number 17, it says, there's a time for every purpose and every work. That's what the Bible says. And that's not our time. That's God's time. So we have to wait. Be patient. Wait on the Lord. We have to wait on his timing. Wait for him to deliver his promises to us, right? And we have to know that God is not like man, where man will break his word, right? You know, like I said earlier, right? Sometimes, you know, it's not even intentional, right? It just circumstances of this life, right? Of this world causes us men to like break our word. We just can't do it, right? It just can't happen, right? But God is not like man. God will deliver on every promise. Every one of his promises that he stated in his word, he will deliver on it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, you know, God has some promises that are unconditional promises in God's word, unconditional promises. That means that there's no ifs and buts about it. It's going to happen. No ifs and buts about it. It's going to happen. Because God said it, whether we believe it or not, he's going to do it. Amen? It doesn't matter whether we believe it or not. It's going to happen, right? You know, one of those promises is like in Galatians 6 and 8, right? He says, for he that soweth to the flesh shall reap correction of the flesh. Amen? That's what the word says, right? Whether we believe it or not, that's what God says, and he deliver on that promise. Amen? Amen. And in Romans 8 and 13, it says that if you live after the flesh, you shall die. That's what the Bible says, right? That is one of his unconditional promises. Unconditional promises. And in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 7, it says, for we brought nothing into this world, and certainly we can take nothing out. That's a promise of God. That's in God's word, right? And so, you know, those are what's called unconditional. These are going to happen no matter what. God is going to be faithful to his word. You know, not only that, but he also said in Matthew chapter 17, verse number 23, Jesus said that on the third day after his death, that he will rise again. That's what the word said, right? That's one of those unconditional things, right? You know, no matter what people did, right? After his death, Jesus said he was going to rise again on the third day. Amen? And guess what? Jesus also said in John 14 and 3, right? He says that he will come again. That's what the word says, right? That he will come again. You know, and it doesn't matter what we do, right? In his timing, Jesus will come again. Amen? Amen. Amen. You know, and then in Romans 14 and 12, it says that every one of us shall give an account unto God. Amen? Every one of us shall give an account unto God. You know? And we believe in God, right? But the word says that we need to give an account unto God. Every one of us, right? And you know, we need to be taking God at his word. We need to be taking God seriously when he says these things. He has given us so many promises, right? And all we need to do is live righteous in order to receive these promises. Amen?
Amen.
Now, like I said earlier, you know, most people in this world believe there's a God. Amen? Most people you ask, right, they believe there's a God. And then there becomes some confusion as to actually what to do from there. Right? Because a lot of people are confused about whether the Bible is still authentic, right? Some people think the Bible has been altered. Some people think there are some things missing from the Bible. People think that man has added things into the Bible, right? That shouldn't be there, right? But the Bible itself says clearly that God has given us everything that we need to live righteous and godly in this present age. Amen. Righteous and godliness in this present age, right? That's what the Bible says, right? So in spite of what man says, in spite of what man thinks, right, we have to take God at his word. Amen? We have to take God at his word. Amen? Now, the Bible tells us that every one of us, every one of us is going to face death. Amen? I mean, the ratio is 1-to-1. Every birth, that's a death. Amen? Amen? There's no way around that, right? And the Bible tells us once death, there becomes, we're going to be held accountable for the things we've done in this world. That's what the Bible says, amen? We need to take God for his word. We need to take God at his word. We need to become serious about just taking God at his word. Now, we're going to be held accountable for the things we do in this life, then we need to be watching and paying attention to what we do in this life. Amen? The Bible also tells us that Jesus came to this earth. He came to this earth and he died for our sins. Amen? The Bible clearly tells us that in our sins, we can't go where Jesus is. Amen? So we need to do something about our sins. Amen? Now there's a free gift. Jesus died for our sins, and salvation is in Jesus Christ. Amen. But see, you know, that's one of those conditional promises. Amen. Meaning that there is something that we need to do in order to receive that salvation. Amen. Amen. And the Bible lays out a plan for us. What do we need to do in order to receive that promise of salvation, of our eternal life with Jesus Christ, right? Amen? And the Bible starts out telling us that we need to hear the word, right? In Romans 10:17, it says that. So faith coming by hearing and hearing the word, amen? Because if you don't hear the word, right, you have nothing to believe on, right? And that's the second thing that the Bible tells us that we must do, right? We must believe. We must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen? And in Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Amen? Can't do it. It's impossible to please him. These are some of the conditions, right, that we must do in order to receive the salvation, the free gift that Jesus has given us. Amen? This is one of some of the things that we need to do, right? The Bible goes on and tells us that for he who comes to God must believe him, and that he is a rewarder for those who diligently seek him. Amen? Diligently seek him. That's something that we have to be actively doing, right? Actively doing, right? It's not something that we just do for a little while and just give up, right? We got to actively, always, diligently be seeking him. That's what the word says, right? And that's our part of the condition in order to receive the promise. Amen? The Bible goes on and tells us that we must repent. And Acts 7:30 says that now commands all men everywhere to repent. Repenting is simply agreeing with God. Amen? Agreeing with God. Okay? You want to do what God wants to do, right? And when you want to do what God wants to do, you need to turn away from what you're doing, what you want to do, right? Now, we already read to you what Isaiah says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, right? My ways are not your ways, right? So we have a way, right? Some of our ways are not according to God's way. And when we find that to be true by the word of God, right, we need to repent. We need to turn around. We need to leave our ways alone and go after the Lord's way. Seek what is God, right? And you know, Some people get stuck with this. Some people get hung up on this, right? Because this repenting is a mental thing. It's a mental thing. God doesn't mean that you have to go out and clean up your life and then come to him. That's not what he means, right? He wants you to mentally agree with him. Mentally agree with him. That's what repentance is all about, right? Some people want to go out and say, oh, no, I got to go out and clean up all this stuff, right? I got to go out and clean up all this stuff that's contrary to the word of God, right? And then I can come to the Lord, right? You know, people say, oh, yeah, I'll be back in a couple of weeks, right? Or in a month, I got some things I got to take care of, right? But that's not what God wants us to do, right? God wants us to mentally agree with him. mentally agree with him, make up our mind that understanding that God has said that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are different from our ways, right? And we agree with that, right? And the things that we see are different. We say we don't want our way. We don't want it our way anymore. We want it God's way. We want it God's way. And see, then we can begin to tap into the promises that God has for us, right? And then there's confession, right? The Bible tells us that in Romans 10:10 says that with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen? And that confession is a simple confession. Amen? It's confessing that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen? Amen? That's what that's all about. And then the final mark to put you in Christ, into Christ, is baptism. Amen? And the Bible tells us that he who believes and is baptized. Right? So you got to believe and be baptized. Right? That's the condition of the promise. Right? And what's the promise that he promised to us? He said that we'll be saved. We'll be saved. Right? That's his promise. And the condition is that you have to believe and be baptized. Amen? Amen. And then God goes on, right? You know, sometimes God doesn't give us this flip side of it, right? But in the book of Mark 16:16, he gives us the flip side of it, right? Sometimes we can just read things, right, and say that, okay, this is what God wants, and that's how we're going to do it, right? We don't have to look at the flip side, right? But God goes on further and says that, but he that does not believe will be condemned. That's the flip side of it, right? One side is you believe and baptize, you'll be saved. The flip side of that, right, is that if you don't believe, you'll be condemned, right? Now you know, we know that's extremely important because it's in God's word, right? Sometimes we can just make assumption about the flip side. God, it's not necessary for God to give us the flip side. He just tells us what to do, and we know the flip side is true also, right? But here he tells us the flip side, amen? You know, God is not man. God is not man. Amen. And man, with man, man, you know, sometimes us men, we can do the best we can, the best of our ability, and we may not be able to keep our word. We may not be able to keep our promise. You know, there's things in this world, right? Circumstances in this world, right? We can be the best person we want to be, right? And we still can't keep our promise all the time, right? Sometimes, sooner or later, right, we're going to have to just renege on a promise, right, because of circumstances, right? That's just the way this life is, right? You know, but there are men, right? There are men out there, right? They just promise you anything, right? Just to say things, right? Just to get you off their back, right? Just to move on down the road, right? Just so that they just tell you what you want to hear, right? And they're not worried about that, keeping their word, right? They're not worried about that at all. But God is not a man. He's not like that. Every single one of his promises, he will keep. We need to start taking God at his word. That's what we need to start doing. Taking God at his word. If his word says something, we ought to take that. All right, that's God said it. He'll deliver on it. He'll deliver on it. And what we need to do, is the conditions I went through. We need to check ourselves to make sure that we live in righteousness. Living righteous, having a righteous relationship with God, and just wait on him. Wait on him. Wait on his promises. He'll deliver his promises in due time, in his time, right? The Bible tells us not to be slack in doing good, right? In due time, God will deliver his promises, right? God is not slack like men. Amen? Amen. And so we need to look at our lives. And see in our lives that where we are not taking God at his word. Amen. That we know what the word says, right? But for some reason, right, we're not taking God at his word. We have allowed this world's conditions, right, the things of society, right, to allow us to just have a little doubt in our faith, right? And I went over those reasons, right? Sometimes it's just misinterpretation of the scripture. Sometimes it's our own emotions, right? Sometimes it's just God's timing, right? And all those things are reasonings why, right, that he hasn't delivered on his promise yet. You know, it's like, it's coming. It's just, we haven't got it yet. And we have to believe that, right? We have to live our lives as if it is coming, right? We can't live our lives like, oh, well, I'm not sure. You know, I'm not sure it's coming. It's getting kind of late, right? I'm not sure if they're coming, right? You know, and when we do that sometimes because of conditions of this world. This world has conditioned us because we have all have had somebody break a promise one day or another, right? You know, oh, no, it's not going to happen. Oh, no, he's not going to deliver, right? And then somehow we translate that to God. We translate that to God. Like God is not going to deliver on his promises in spite of everything the Bible said. Now, some of us need to understand that we need to get into God's family. And I already went over that plan, those conditions, right? So God has conditions to his promises. But, oh, you don't want to be on the wrong side of some of those unconditional promises. You don't want to be on the wrong side of some of those unconditional promises. Because they're going to come. Whether we believe it or not, God is going to be faithful on those unconditional promises. Amen? So regardless of where you see yourself, now's the time that we can fix it. During this time, when we stand and sing the invitational song, right, it's time for you to examine yourself. Just look at yourself, right? And see, have you been dependent? Have you been taking God at his word? And if you're not a child of God, I want you to just simply follow the plan that we already laid out for you. You heard the word. You believe it. Come forth, and we'll baptize you today. Amen? As we sing and send some invitation.